Once again, thank you for the opportunity to be allowed to bring God's word. By way of introduction to what I want us to hear from God's word, I want to fill you in a little of what has been happening in our country of late. On August 9th, we had our general election, and particularly of great concern or interest was the presidential election. Then, when the results were announced, there were four presidential contenders, but there were two who were way ahead of the other two. But when the announcement was made as to who won, there's usually the expectation, even before the announcement or the result is given, but then when the announcement was made, that certainly went against what the majority were expecting. But if I just back up a little, we have a body that cares for matters to do with election. And you don't just see them on the scene on the material day of election. It is a particular department that is set up for the purpose of running, preparing and running, telling and announcing the election results. So their work is cut out for them. And therefore, on the 9th of August was really a manifestation of what they have all along been doing. They spend a lot of money in terms of billions in preparing for the elections. When they finally, having spent all that, when they announced, what they announced certainly raised a lot of concern, and therefore there was petition brought forth at the Supreme Court of Kenya, where we have seven Supreme Court judges to finally decide on issues like that. And they have an awesome task because their decision, their judgment then remains. So when the results were given, clearly it was questioned, and so the petitioners muscled all their evidences and loads, we would say, lorry full, track full of evidence were brought before these seven Supreme Court judges, and lawyers on either side fought their case, and finally the Supreme Court gave their verdict. And not only was the body, the result that the body that oversees the election, not only was their pronouncement questionable, the Supreme Court judgment was equally questionable. because the process and the petitioners made their case to show that the whole process was compromised. I won't bore you with all that. It's Kenya stuff, so it's like, why bring it to us? But there's a reason. The process was questionable. So much money had been spent. And the petitioners brought such evidence to show that the body that runs the election didn't behave well. And they incorporated all manner of not very good ideas, including hiring or bringing foreigners to manipulate the figures. And there was evidence to the same. But obviously, when the matter was brought before the Supreme Court, everyone was hopeful that these seven men and women would give Kenya just that judgment that would honestly settle the matter. Now, as I'm speaking, we now obviously have a government in place. Hardly 2 weeks, I think on Tuesday it'll be there 2 weeks in the office, so they're fairly young. But it's a situation that has sadly divided the country, in a sense, right down the middle. But if you analyze, it's like not quite the middle. The majority are struggling to cope with the judgment. Often they've been told, come on, accept and let's move on. Yet they find it's very hard. You see, all these are causing the country and many in the country to yearning for a fair judgment. In this world, and particularly in Kenya, we didn't see that, but there's a time when the judge of all judges, when he does right, when he brings judgment, his judgment stands. That's the one I want us to see and read about. He, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this earth to set up a kingdom and to make sure that those who are in his kingdom adhere to the rules. Not questionable things like the body that ran our election, not questionable conclusion that the seven judges came to. This is one who, when finally he says, be cast into utter darkness, then his word is final. We need to know this one. We need to know what is it that he demands in his kingdom, that he expects subjects of his kingdom to do. Please turn with me. Now, that's a long introduction, and you're wondering, where is this man from Kenya taking us? Could we now turn to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 25. And I bring this passage because back in Kenya, in Eldoret Grace Baptist Church, I have been preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, passage by passage. And just a few weeks ago, in fact, right in the middle of our elections and petition, bang, I was dealing with this particular passage. And I wasn't going to wriggle out of it, but to bring it faithfully. And so Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verses 14 to 30. Verses 14 to 30, the Lord Jesus is coming to the end now of his teaching, and he's particularly teaching his disciples, not the whole group now, where Pharisees and onlookers know. These are his disciples. But now, while in verses 1 to 13, he's given the teachings in the parable of the 10 virgins, now verses 14 to 30, he speaks to them on the parable of the talents. And this is to do with what the Lord would have his own do as they wait for his return. Not only prepare for his return, verses 1 to 13, but how do we prepare? What do we do as we wait for his return? 14 to 30. I want to quickly read it and then we will look briefly at it. And so this is what it says. I'm reading from ESV and this is what we find. For it will be like a man, that is the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, to another, 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I had scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's just pray. Oh Lord, our God, we do seek your face, that this passage will bring some light as to what you desire of us. Help us then to have understanding that would lead us to a life of obedience and service, working as we wait for the return of your dear Son, our Savior. And I'm praying, Lord, that this passage would equally wake up any who would name your name, identifying with you that even this morning is in this very place called by your name. But, oh Lord, if one be who is not faithful, that this would cause them to say, wait a minute, I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful, that ultimately I may enter the joy of my Master. Bless our time then, as this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Parables, as is being said, are earthly stories. And indeed, even as we have read, this is a really earthly story. We can relate to it. However, parables have deep, heavenly, spiritual meanings. And this parable is no different. And so what I want us to do is just ask the question. It would be so profitable just to analyze every segment of this to the end. We don't have that time. But what we do is stand back and ask ourselves. This is a parable that talks about talents. So let's ask the question. What are these talents that the master is talking about here? And in this parable, and as we read, the talents should be said, the talents here do not represent gifts. You see, generally we talk about talents as though they mean a special ability that one has above others. And so we can only admire them. The little young man, he's no longer little, he's called Dennis. Dennis, in the one of the slides, who we began with as a little boy, with his siblings coming to our church. The Lord has saved him since. And he is grown to be a man who, if this had a problem, he would, you know, he's only now going to a nearby college, not quite near, but we have chosen to help him go to college to make sure he can learn electronics and things like that. He would fiddle around and open this up and find where the problem is. And when my mobile phone has a problem, I take to him. A laptop, I didn't even carry it because it has its own challenges. But my laptop, I would call him and he would fiddle around and sort. He's got that above the rest of us in the church. It's very easy for him to walk with a shoulder high. He stands out. But it's not quite the talent being talked about here. When the scripture was written, this word talent really was a description of, or it was a measuring, way of measuring money or weights. So one could measure the amount of money they have or give away in terms of talents. And that's what we see. We need to respect how the Bible used it, and then of course we can explain it further into our own way. And so it was a way of measuring this large sum of money. So here is a man who setting off on this journey. Then he gives this large sum of money to these people. And of course, he gives them not indiscriminately, but the end of verse 15 tells us, each according to his ability. Now, of course, the Lord, God does give people, as I've mentioned, Dennis in our church has this which one would call a natural ability. He's only now beginning a course in electronics, but already he has this natural ability that now we want to help him develop. But Jesus here shows what happens in among believers in the church, in the spiritual realm. Talent is something that is to be found among all believers. We have our different talents so that we can carry them out. So talents is not just a gift like that of Dennis in our church. But talents then represent various responsibilities to serve the Lord. Various responsibilities to serve the Lord. That these responsibilities are there and the various opportunities that God gives so that we are able to exercise these things among God's people and for the good, 1 Corinthians would tell us, for the good of God's people. These talents, therefore, represent what we do with our abilities. Okay, not just the abilities themselves, but what do we do with those abilities? These who are servants of their master. The master obviously had the authority over them. The master saw what each ought to do and able to do, and so he gave them such. You see, friends, this is a parable, but we know that they have spiritual meaning. God knows every one of us. God knows everyone who belongs to him, who belongs to his kingdom, and he gives each one different responsibilities, different opportunities. And he expects us to carry out our responsibilities. Suppose the word that I am using now and will use through, if you miss everything else, cling to the word faithful. The Lord wants us to be faithful in his service. Because we all do different, you know, carry out different things. You have maintained this building in a wonderful way, just walking in and seeing how everything is clean, is set. Someone did it. Not all of us were here and each one struggling to get the same broom or the same hoover. No, some came early or yesterday to get this place prepared. And then every time the Lord's Day comes and someone stands, pastor stands before, you know, behind this pulpit before you, and someone then is at the door receiving visitors, and so we can go on. And then we had our break and a lovely time to eat and drink something, and someone had to make the tea or the coffee. And my special drink today that apparently you have not made before, but today it was made for me. Each one doing their part. These are different things that the Lord places before his people in his church to be carried out, actually for the good of one another, for the glory of God. But the thing is faithfulness. Someone has said, let me just quote briefly, saying here, the highest calling in the world is to do for the Lord Jesus Christ what you can do and what you have been given to do, and to do it with your whole heart. This is how to please God. So I ask, are you doing that? Are you doing what is there to be done? What maybe already you are doing, or what you ought to be doing, but you're not doing it to your full capacity? Are you doing that to the glory of God faithfully? So that's what the talents are. We've seen what they are not and what they ought to be. If I say it's nothing special, that would be not quite right. But it's not that what one has been given makes them walk with a shoulder high. No. Because otherwise that would be paying attention to the talents and not to the giver. Remember, it is the faithfulness in using these talents. Then just secondly, we see how these talents are to be used. How should they be used? As we have said, these are different or various responsibilities and opportunities to serve the Lord. You see, not all would stand here. Some of these responsibilities are very public, like standing here, leading the service or preaching. Very public. Some are done quietly. You've got lovely rooms the back there where if Sunday school is going on, one teacher is there, another one is there with a few children here and there. And those are responsibilities and opportunities. And there are those who, yes, prayer. One may stand here and lead in prayer. But you know, there are some who also are involved in prayer, but they are not quite public. Someone may be bedridden. And when they miss a Lord's Day, it's only the Lord who knows. But they may be quietly there praying, Lord, bless our pastor. If they know some preachers come from Africa, it's like, Lord, I'm not there, but be with that preacher. We hope that he can be an encouragement to the congregation. He's praying. And so I'm showing that these responsibilities, some are very public, some are quite hidden. And they are not to be done but all by the same person. Not all to be done by the pastor, not all to be done by the pastor's wife, no. This parable actually teaches us to move away from the idea of a one man, you know, one person show. That's not Christianity. And as I, friends, I've come here as a friend, and I want to make sure that I encourage you along. But I honestly must put it this way, because this passage forces us to go that way. If you do attend church, but that seemed to be the only thing you are doing, what does the master say of you? The master in this parable went away for a long while. But the master, the meaning of the parable, while he's away waiting for his return, he knows everything that happens in his church. He doesn't need to come and find, so and so, all you did was to come to church on a Sunday morning and wait for another Sunday. No, he knows. And you know, that thought about the master and what he thinks about you should be a concern for every one of us. should be a concern for every one of us. Because that which you have, which our passage calls a talent, is not yours. It's given to each one of us. Please do not sin against the giver of these talents. Because otherwise, you are bearing your talent. You're bearing your talent. So how then should we use these talents? If you look with me, we see there is actually a positive way. That is the way, the right way of using these talents. However, there is also the negative way, the way we should not use these talents. And the Master, the Lord Jesus, sets it before us here so that we may be warned. Now, the passage and the purpose of this passage is not like the Supreme Court in Kenya, who they made their decision, but they left, not everyone, the majority in the country questioning, we should even have heard another court where we could go and appeal. Well, they made it. They made their judgment. We've got to live with it, but it's not something that people would have desired. Here, there is a good way, a proper way, a way that pleases the Master, a way that if we carry out our talents or we put our talents into use, we'll be able to, it will be said of us, good and faithful. Look at verses 16 to 23. It's a long passage, but we are seeing here these two men went out immediately, each one according to his ability. And it's beautiful that when the Master returns after a long while, and then he begins to settle accounts, and the five-talent man exercises five-talent responsibility and earned five talents more. We are seeing that he was a faithful person. Faithfulness, in other words, to quote someone, faithfulness is the currency, by which the value of Christian service is to be measured. Faithfulness. It is opposed to some scale of importance. It is faithfulness. Because this person in verse 21, when he has set forth his account, in other words, when he has said, Master, this is what you gave me, this is how I fared, and then the Master says, well done, good and faithful. That's what he was told, good and faithful. You've been faithful. Then it ends, end of verse 21, enter into the joy of your master. And so here the main thing is consistent faithfulness in the Lord's work. That's what we are expected to do. We are to live our Christian lives faithfully, serving the Lord, as they would say, 24/7. And equally, the two-talent person said, well, Master, you gave me two. I traded, I got two. And the Master was happy with him. You see, friends, that's what should characterize each one of us. Remember, I've been saying, we're all different in what the Lord gives us as our opportunities. But we must not push what we should do aside and say, oh, someone else will do that. That is the desirable way to do it, in such a way that the master will be able to say, good and faithful servant, enter the joy. Now, there is the wrong way to do it. So that the master, if you look at verse 24 onwards, where this person, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered not seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. That is the thinking of this person. Actually, that tells us what was in his heart. He buried his master's talent in a state of inactivity. And then he was even ready with an answer or explanation. I knew you to be a hard man, so I hid. I was afraid and hid your talent. Here, have what belongs to you. He wasted his master's talent. Someone has said money under the mattress doesn't earn any interest. And the master tells him, you should have even taken it then to the bank, as it were. The one talent man was responsible for being productive. So by his inactivity, actually, he was robbing his master. He was robbing his master. He was a thief. Now, we don't want to think like that, but that's what this parable brings out, where we fail to put into action that which the Lord has set before us to carry out. If you're a believer, the Lord has given you. You know, you're a professing believer, the Lord has given you his word, his Holy Spirit. So, friends, how do you live your life? Because we can have a great testimony, or testimony of how, what a wonderful theological positions we hold in our Reformed faith. And we know there are some in the neighborhood who is all so happy, but honestly, they do not have the solid biblical knowledge that the Lord has given us. But does that transform into faithfulness? That is what it is. That is the challenge here. And so I just ask again, are you a Sunday only professing believer? Would the Lord be happy with that? And please, Pastor didn't tell me. Naphtali, speak out, because in my church there are so many who I only see them briefly on a Sunday. I don't know. And he didn't tell me, so I don't know anything. However, the master in this parable, the Lord Jesus, knows this is something critical in his kingdom. And therefore, it is appropriate for me as a preacher this morning to say, watch out. It is possible to receive talent and bury it in activity. And that would be terrible. So terrible, because the master will come and tell you, wicked and lazy. Inactivity is bad enough, but here is a man, this third person, who actually claimed that his master was a mean person, a mean master. He even says, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, and I was afraid." As then, so now, we may not utter those words to our Lord, either in prayer or later, but you know what? We could do things like that. We could do things like that. "Lord, what you expected to me was expected of me was too hard. No, but also, Lord, I wouldn't have done it perfectly." I thought others could do it, so why bother? So I left it for them. And there are those who would have excuses. And it's like, "No, it would be beneath me." No, no, no. They may not use those words, but it's like, come on, let others do it. Please watch out, because then you would be in the same category with this person, blaming the master for giving you that talent. And that would be bad. That would be bad. Let's remember, the master in this parable was such a rich person, generous person, giving out these talents. But our master in heaven, the one we wait for, is a loving, dear Savior. He doesn't mean ill. He means good for us. Our Father means well for us. That's why he sent his dear Son to so live and suffer and die for us. This is a loving God. And so when there is that spirit of wanting to push that which we ought to do and we can do, and the Lord has placed before us opportunities to do them and we fail to do them, friends, you know what? It's not the master. Actually, the real bondage is our own sinfulness. The real bondage is our own sinfulness. So I've only very briefly shown you what these talents are and how these talents are to be used. We either use them to the end that the master would be able to say, "Good and well done, faithful, enter into the joy." Or it would be said, "Wicked, lazy servant." But then finally, the question is, so what? What would this, all that we have seen, bring to our lives? So what? What can we carry away? The last part of this passage, I'm using it as the application. Obviously, I've been applying it as we are going along, but I want us to see the last part, verses 29 and 30. Let's just read verses 29 and 30. "For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping, gnashing of teeth." It's possible for one to raise objection or objections. You see, I failed to utilize my talent because, I mean, I only have one talent. I was just given one, you know. The other one is given two. The other one has five. I just got one, so will that hold? No, no. It's possible for one to also say, surely the talent I have is not visible, and mine is just to make the tea or clean up the mess when people have rushed back to the meeting and I remain back to sort out things there or clean the washrooms. And it's possible to raise such and say, my, what is expected of me is not public enough. But you know, if that be the case, then it is only but pride and self-righteousness playing out every responsibility is fitting to be carried out. Remember, it is done to the Master's glory. And when we do it to the Master's glory, it is so good. Remember the word that keeps coming up, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, one, if we carry out what we have seen in this passage in faithfulness, you know what will happen? We will grow in grace. Whatever be, right from the public one at the pulpit here to the more not glamorous one taking care of the washrooms, if we are faithful in that, in those areas, we will grow in grace. That's what we read there in verse 29. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. Let's all labor that we may grow in grace. In fact, our blessings will grow. And I see it in our little church back in Eldoret, those who come out and do the little that they have the opportunity to do. They grow. Now, that does not mean they don't go through challenges in life, problems. They do. But the way they carry themselves just shows you they are growing in more and more likeness to their dear Savior. I desire that as a church, you will grow in grace. But secondly, by way of application, the faithless will deteriorate. The faithless will dwindle, will go down, will vanish, as it were, will not progress. Verse 29, middle of verse 29. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. You see, when we do not act on God's gifts, and let's emphasize that it's God's gifts, God's talent to us. The wonderful opportunities we have in the Christian church, the wonderful words of life, other privileges that that may arise. You know what? We are being told here, these things will be withdrawn from us. They will be withdrawn from us. Remember, the one talent was just buried in activity. The Lord will not waste his talent, you know, even if it's one. It will be taken away. It will be taken away. What, in your case, would be taken away? Is it the word that you have faithfully received from this pulpit, which should make your life different, your commitment different, your availability different? Let's all think through. Lord, what is it? How can I use what I have so that it's not just taken away from me? So the faithful will grow in grace. The faithless will deteriorate, will diminish, will not progress. But finally, the unrepentant will perish. Verse 30, when it really comes to this stage where in verse 30 we are told, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then it's too late. It's too late. The body that is charged with the responsibility of running election. Strangely, the Supreme Court gave them a clean bill of health against all the evidence that was brought forth, including bringing in of foreigners to meddle with all the numbers. And then in terms of all the track load of evidence brought forth and the articulate arguments that were brought forth by the lawyers on the side of the petitioners, the judgment by the seven Supreme Judge Court, in a nutshell, in a sentence, they described all that evidence as hot air, and that just made people sink in hopelessness. Now, sorry, I'm bringing our situation in Kenya, but it's to bear on this. You see, that disheartened people that I hear, many are flocking the national register, and they are saying, I don't want to vote anymore. I don't want to vote anymore. Strike my name out. Strike my name out, because it just didn't go their way. People question what the final court in the land gave as their final verdict. But there is another court here, a court which, when it is finally given, we will not find fault. This one will say on that final day, cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Like in any other country, like in your country, in ours, every 5 years, we are waiting to go through another round of election. And our fear now is, if this is what they have done this time, and they have not, as far as many are concerned, they have not allowed justice and truth to reign, do we have any leg to stand? Do we have any hope for the future elections? Those are questions I can't answer. Some have said, no, there won't be. So they are getting themselves out of the old register. But here is hope. The one who utters these words The one who used this parable of the master and giving out the five talents, you know, these people, talents according to their abilities, is the one who has hope for us. You can hope in him. We can hope in him. Now, those will be the last words. But before these words come, there is hope. Soon, he will be going onto the cross and suffer and die and rise again. And in his mercy, send the Holy Spirit. We are reading the scriptures and we know that has happened. He went up and he victoriously defeated the cross, the death, and the Holy Spirit has come. And he changes people's lives. So that the five, the two talents will grow in grace. And the one talent person who buries will actually be transformed. So that whatever amount of talents one has, they will use for God's glory. Would that not be the case with you? Would you not look to this one who in a short while will be on the cross? Because on the cross, and he won it all. He gives to all who believe in him. Life everlasting, but also opportunity to serve him. At different levels, yes. Opportunities that he be served. This is the one who we worship there in Eldoret. And I know this is the one you worship here. He's gracious to save. Don't stand back. If you're the Lord's, serve him. If you're saying, preacher, thank you, but that's actually not describing me. I don't even have one talent. He calls you to genuine repentance. Be his servant. Be his servant. And he will bring you into his kingdom, that you'd serve him as you wait for his return. Well, may the Lord then have mercy on us. What he has given us to do, oh, that we would do with all our heart as we wait for his return. Let's pray.